I'm good. All right. Well, good morning, church. I'm glad you've chosen to get on Facebook this morning and listen to us. We praise the Lord for the beautiful day that He's given to us. Some of you can probably see the sun is shining through the windows this morning, so we praise the Lord for that. If I was you, I would go out on the back porch and take my phone out there and listen, but some of you watch on the TV, so you can't do that. But we just praise the Lord for this day that He's given to us. And this morning, you know, I was thinking about the first Sunday that we met in 2020. None of us knew what was going to come in March and April. None of us had no idea that this was going to happen this year. But you know who knew exactly what was going to happen that day? God did. God knew this was going to happen. And God is still in control today. And when I got up here in the pulpit on that first Sunday in January, I told the church, I said, you know, none of us have any idea what's going to happen to our family, to us, to our nation this year. But there are a few things that we can hold on to that we know will happen. And this is what's still the same in 2020, is that the Bible will still have the answers. God will still be on His throne. He will still pour out sweet blessings and hear all the prayers of His own. The Spirit will still be our comfort, and grace will still flow from Calvary's hill. And no matter what may come tomorrow, Jesus will love us still. And you know, that's the exact same today as it was that first Sunday in January. A lot's changed, but there's a few things that has not changed, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ's love for you and His love for me. And I'm thankful for that this morning. So I'm glad you've gotten on today. And my prayer is that God will meet with you right where you are in your house. He'll speak to your heart, and you'll get an encouragement today. I don't know about you, but I need something today from God to speak to my heart and help me out today. And that is my prayer for you, that you'll find help today. And something will be said, something will be sung that will be a blessing to you today. So musicians, you can go ahead and make your way up here as we begin the service in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us, Lord. There's so many things we could look at and get down about. But Lord, if we lift our eyes upward, if we lift our eyes toward heaven and we see and we fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't help but praise you for all that you've done for us, God. So I just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for technology you've given us. We can still reach your people with the gospel. So Lord, I pray that you would just open up our hearts today. I don't know what kind of week your people have had, but God, there are a lot of people that have had a hard week and they need encouragement today. They need a word from you today. So God, I pray that you'll just be in their homes today, that you'll be special to their heart today. And you'll speak to them, Lord. And I thank you for these singers and these musicians and everybody that's come today that they might serve you. And Father, we do thank you for this opportunity. We love you and we thank you for all that you are to us. In Jesus' holy and precious name we do pray. Amen.
Join with us. Sing You Are Holy. We're going to follow that with In Christ Alone. And Brianna's going to do What a Beautiful Name.
You are holy, you are mighty, you are worthy, worthy of praise. I will follow, I will listen, I will love you all of my days, all of my days. Mighty God, Lord of everything, you're Emmanuel, you're the great I am, you're the Prince of Peace, who is the Lamb, you're the living God, you're my saving grace, you will reign forever, you are ancient of days, you are Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, you're the Savior, Messiah, Redeemer and Prince, you're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
sung right along with us there. We had the words on the screen. You should have been able to see them. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, where from the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when driving seas, my comforter.
Greater, what can separate? death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, your silence above just in embrace. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is.
Thank you, musicians, and thank you, Miss Brianna, for coming and singing for us today. There is power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is power in the name of Jesus, for in that name we find our salvation. And I'm thankful for that this morning. If you have your Bibles right where you are, I invite you to go to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 is where we'll be this morning. If you have your phone, your iPad, your Bible, right where you are, I do want you to go there. We're going to be here this morning. Looking forward to getting back to church with everybody. But I did see something on Facebook that said, I hope the barbershop's open before the church opens back up. Because if that does not happen, your preacher is going to look like John the Baptist up here. If my hair continues to grow the way it's growing. So we hope the barbershop's open soon too. All right, well, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 is where we'll be this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 14. And we'll read through verse number 18 this morning. Verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Father, I pray you'll bless your word this morning. I pray that as we heed to your word, God, we'd be willing to obey it. God, we'd be willing that you would change us in it. So, God, I pray you'll do just that through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Leonard Ravenhill is a man that I like to hear preach. He was a man that was a preacher. He had a great burden for revival in America. And one of the quotes that he said, and I liked it, he said, "The greatest work God does in man is not only when he saves man out of the world, but also keeping Him holy in the midst of the world. I'll say that again. One of the greatest work God does in man is not only when He saves man out of the world, but also when He keeps man holy in the midst of the world. You see, the call to every single person on planet Earth is to be saved. I don't know if you've heard that God does not want certain people to come to heaven. God does not want certain people to be saved. Let me say this. God wants everybody on the face of the planet to be saved. God's already decided that. He sent His Son to die for everybody on the face of the planet. So don't listen to that false teaching that says God only wants 50%, 90% of the people to be saved. God wants all people to be saved and come to Christ. But you know, once God brings us to Christ, once we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what God wants us to do? God calls us to live a holy life. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says, as I am holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your conduct. We sang the first song, you are holy, God is holy. And God says, because I am holy, I have called you to be holy. This morning, 99% of the people that are listening on Facebook, you are not called to pastor a local New Testament church. God may have not called you to do that. God may have not called you to be a foreign missionary somewhere. God may have not even called you to teach a Sunday school class. But if you are a Christian this morning, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, God has called you and God has called me to live a holy and godly life. That is the call to everybody. It doesn't matter if we're a preacher, a singer, a Sunday school teacher, or anything. If we are a Christian, God says, I want you and I desire for you to live a godly life. Now, I'm not going to stand up here this morning as a religious phony and say that's an easy thing to do. Especially in the world in which we're living. In the world in which we're living, everything around us is contrary to holiness. I want you to think about this, because it's hard to live a holy life. Not only is living a holy life a high calling from God, it's also a hard calling. It's a hard calling in the world in which we live. I want you to listen to this. We live in an unholy world. Surrounded by unholy people, fighting an unholy enemy, and still living in an unholy body. Does that make it sound easy that God says live a holy life when literally everything around us, and even this flesh that I still have, is still unholy? That does not sound easy, does it? And as a matter of fact, living a holy life is not just hard. Let me say this. It is impossible. I said it is impossible for you and for me in our own strength to live a holy life. But you know what? That's why Jesus told the first apostles, wait at Jerusalem, because I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And when you have the Holy Spirit, He will equip you to live the life that I've called you to live. So if you and me are trying to live a godly life, it's not going to happen. The way we live a godly life is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to think about this. With everything going on in our world right now, especially in our nation with this coronavirus, I am 100% convinced from a spiritual standpoint that God is trying to get people's attention. That is no doubt in my mind. You can ask every single evangelical Christian in America and they will tell you God is trying to get people's attention. And that is the 100% truth. But you know what I found this week? When you study your Bible and famines and bad things happen, especially in the nation of Israel, that wasn't just God trying to get the world's attention. Do you know what He was trying to do? He was trying to get His people's attention. The problem in the Old Testament was not that the world was wicked. The problem was the people of Israel began to join in with that wickedness. And I'm convinced more than ever in 2020, the problem in America is not the wickedness of the world. They're supposed to be that way. The problem is the church. God's people have begun to join in with the ungodliness and the wickedness in our world. And you'll find this morning as we've opened up our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, guess what? That is not a new problem. 2,000 years ago, that was the problem in the city of Corinth. I've talked about Corinth a lot in this pulpit. Corinth had a lot of problems. We will never change the name of this church to Corinth Baptist Church. We don't want to be like Corinth in the Bible. By the way, let me say this. Corinth had a lot of problems. If you're out there, you're listening, you may not attend the church. You say, I'm just trying to find a church that don't have any problems. Let me say this. When you find that church that doesn't have any problems, don't go to it. Why? Because you will mess it up. Do not go to a church that doesn't have any problems because you will mess it up. I would not find a church that doesn't have any problems because guess what? I would mess it up because guess what? There is no church in America, in the world, that doesn't yet have any problems because we're all human flesh. I want you to listen to the problems that Corinth had in the church. See if it sounds familiar to you. They were fighting with each other. They were divided. They were jealous. They were lazy. They were committing immorality. They were immature. And they had problems with drunkenness. If I were to list America's problems, even within the church, do you know what the problems would be? Fighting, division, laziness, immorality, immaturity, and drunkenness is one of the main problems even today. It sounds like a lot like the churches even today, and that's a bad thing to say. But I want you to listen to the main problem in Corinth. That was a lot of problems. But the main problem in Corinth was this. Instead of conforming to the image of Christ, they began to conform to the image of the world around them. So when people looked at the church in Corinth, they couldn't tell the difference between them and the world. Between the world and them. That was the problem in Corinth. So that's why when you get to chapter number 6, Paul gives them a loving rebuke and said, it is time for you as the church of Jesus Christ, verse 17, to come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I believe today if there is a relevant verse, not just for our church here at Harding Community Baptist Church, but for all churches around America and around the world today, 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 17, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That is relevant for us today. For now, it is time more than ever for God's people to stop living like everybody else lives around us and begin to live the way Jesus Christ would live in our world today. And the Bible says He was holy. He was pure. He was undefiled. He was sinless. By the way, you and I are not going to be sinless, are we? If you say, I've gone all week, all month without committing a sin, I'll say you just committed one lying. But we are to live holy lives in this world in which we're living. I'll give you three things from our text today and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to see the reasoning as to why we live holy lives. The reasoning why we live holy lives. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Everybody's heard that verse before. Most of the time it is used to say that when you are a Christian and you are looking for a marriage partner, you should not marry somebody who is not a Christian. That is the obvious teaching from the Old Testament and the New Testament, that if you are a child of God, you should not join in holy matrimony with somebody who is not a child of God. But this not only has to do with marriage, this also has to do with every single aspect of life. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but to come out and be separate from them. Now let me ask you some questions. Does verse 14 mean that if you are a Christian and you are married right now to a non-Christian, you need to get a divorce? That means no. The answer is no. The Bible tells us that. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If your job, you work with a bunch of unbelievers, should you quit? No. If you play on a football team in high school and you say, I just can't take it, there's unbelievers all around me, I need to quit. Should you quit? If you go to a school and there's unbelievers in your classroom and you come home and say, I just don't need to go to that school anymore because there's unbelievers all around me, should you leave that school just because there are unbelievers around you? The answer to all those questions is no. Is no. Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. How in the world are we supposed to reach the world if we're not around the world? Paul is not saying in verse 14, it is time for you to find you a cave and become hermits. Sit in there until you die so you don't be around unbelievers. Because Christ said, you need to go out into the world. Win the world to me. You know, one of the greatest things the Pharisees said about Jesus was Jesus is a friend of sinners. They thought that was a bad thing. And I stand here in 2020 saying, praise God, He's a friend of sinners. I'm glad He comes to our house. I'm glad He dines with us, and I'm glad He wants to save us. He's a friend of sinners. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, basically, listen, guys, I'm not teaching you that you need to go out of the world, to never be around unbelievers. For if that were the case, you would need to leave planet Earth if you were to never be around unbelievers. So what is verse 14 teaching? This is teaching that although we are to reach unbelievers, although we are to be around them, Paul is saying we are not to participate in the kind of lives they live. That is the teaching of verse 14. Because, you know, we as Christians were never made to fit in this world. We were never made to fit in. I tell you what it's like, supposed to be like, being a Christian living on planet Earth right now. It would be like somebody from Hardin Community moving to New York City. Moving to New York City. You're going to find out within 2 hours that you don't fit in New York City if you live in Hardin. I remember in 2016, me and my dad took a flight up to New York City to Yankee Stadium to watch the Yankees play that night. We got there about 10:30, 10 a.m. We got off the flight. We got to the hotel. We put all of our stuff in there, and we went to go eat some lunch. Pizza parlor, I think it was. Pizza's amazing up there, by the way. And we got there, and of course, a flight will wear you out. Walking in New York City will wear you out. That's all you have to do is walk. So we get to the restaurant. I think, boy, I'm so excited to get me a glass of sweet tea. The waiter comes up and says, we'll go ahead and take your drink order. I said, praise God. I want a big old large glass of iced sweet tea. And he looked at me like I was dumb. He said, sir, we don't have that here. I said, Dad, I'm ready to go home. You don't have sweet tea? And he just began to laugh. He said, you ain't from here, are you? I said, how could you tell? He said, by the way you talk. I said, well, amen. I'm ready to go back home already. They don't have sweet tea. But you see, I found out within a few hours that I did not fit in New York City. Did the Clampets fit in California? They did not fit in Beverly Hills, did they? In the same way, Paul is he's telling us throughout, not just in this book, he's telling us all throughout the New Testament that our citizenship is not here. We don't fit into this world, and we're not to blend in with this world. And Paul poses five questions. You'll see he asked a lot of questions in verse 14, 15, and 16. There are five questions there. And he says, all right, I'm going to illustrate this for you, how Christians aren't to blend in with the world, how these things don't mix together. And it's basically like Paul is sitting here at a table, and the church is across from him, and he's saying, all right, let me ask you a question, guys. Does righteousness go together with unrighteousness? Do those things mix together? Basically what he's saying is there right and wrong in the same place? Or is it right or is it wrong? And they would say, it's either right or it's wrong. And he'd say, amen. Next question. What about light and darkness, guys? Does light and darkness mix together? And they would say, well, if the room's dark and you cut on just the teeniest bit of light, that light dispels the darkness. So in other words, light and darkness do not mix. He says, that's exactly right. So what about Christ and Belial? And Belial is basically another word for Satan there. He said, all right, Jesus Christ and the devil. Do those people mix together? Jesus is called the way, the truth, the life. Satan is called the father of lies. They're two different things. They don't mix together. And they would say, no, they don't mix. And then he would say, all right, you know the temple over there in Jerusalem. Would you bring an idol when you go in there to worship? Would you take an idol and begin to worship that idol instead of worship the God that temple was built for? And they would say, absolutely not. We would never go into God's house and worship somebody other than God. And he says, that's exactly right, because they don't mix together. And then Paul says, all right, now listen. You are the temple of the living God. And Paul is basically saying here, those things don't mix, do they, church? And he's saying, that's exactly right. In the very same way that the temple and other things don't mix is the same way now that you are Christians, you living a life of sin does not mix either. He doesn't say you sinning does not mix, because we're all going to do that. He says, but living a life like everybody else around you in town lives, and you being a Christian, that just doesn't mix together. The same way right and wrong don't mix, light and darkness, Christ and Satan, is the same way a Christian and living a life of sin just does not mix together. So that's the reasoning why God has called us to live a holy life, because it just does not make sense for us to be the children of the one who is called holy and live anything less than a holy life. So what should our response be to this? What should our response be? Verse 17 tells you our response. Since these things don't mix, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's our response. Come out and be ye separate. Now, let me ask you an obvious question here. We have some Sunday school rooms right back here. Let's say 30 people had the coronavirus. And we put them in that Sunday school room. And they're all just packed in that little tiny room that we have. Miss Carol, would you walk in there? Would you? Let me tell you who else wouldn't. Me. If it was in that teeny little room and 30 people had the coronavirus, you would not find Justin walking in that room. You say, why is that? I would be scared their infection would get on me. I wouldn't walk in there saying, I'm healthy, and because I'm healthy, my health can infect them. But I would be saying, their sickness is going to infect me. In the same way, Paul is saying basically in verse 17, the environment, church, all around you, it is ungodly, it is unholy, and they worship idols, and it's ungodly and all the rest. Paul's saying, why in the world do you think you can mingle around with that and not be touched by it? Why do you think you can play around with that and not be touched by it? Listen to what Solomon said. Proverbs 6:28. Can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? He's writing to his son. He's saying, son, do you think you can walk on top of a fire and your feet won't be burned? It's an obvious question. Your feet are going to get burned. And Paul is saying, if you think you can just mingle around with all of these things and it won't have an effect on you, it's illogical to think that. I can say this, because although I'm a preacher, I'm also flesh, just like you. My preacher always said the only difference between you and me is I'm standing up and you sitting down. We're all flesh, aren't we? We like to get as close to the line as we can sometimes without crossing it. We know what God says. Here's the line. But as long as we don't cross it, man, we can get close to it. As long as we don't cross over the line. Paul says, verse 17, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, be separate. He says if you're having a trouble, particularly with immorality in the context, he's saying avoid it. In other words, if something is that way and you see it, do not even walk that way. Walk that way. If you're having a problem with going to the liquor store, don't even drive by that way. Go a different route home. Because the more you are around it, the more you see it, the more prone you are to be to give into it. So Solomon says, son, listen, I've been where you're about to go into this world. He says, when you see these things, go the other way, avoid it, turn down a different road. Because the closer you are to it, the more likely you are to get involved in it. And boy, that's relevant teaching for today, isn't it? You can get whatever you want to get on your phone. You can get whatever you want to get on your iPad. You can do whatever you want to do on the internet. But to live a godly life, Paul says, do not touch it. Do not touch the unclean thing. You know, we're all forgiven through the blood of Christ. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. But you know, that still sometimes does not take away the effects of sin in our life. We've all seen people who have went down that road, and because of their sin, it's played a huge effect on their life. Sin still has consequences, although God has put it under the blood. It still has bad consequences. And one consequence of sin, living in sin as a Christian, is you cannot have the joy God wants you to have while still living in sin. So how do you know that? Because from personal experience. You cannot live in sin as a child of God with the Holy Spirit within you and have the joy of the Lord flowing out of your life. This morning you're probably sitting there listening saying, well, who is this preacher to tell me how to live my life? I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. I'm trying to tell you if you want to live the life God wants you to live and find the absolute joy of being a Christian, it's impossible to live in sin at the same time. You say, well, you know, I've not been the man I've wanted to be. I found myself in that place when I was 20 years old. You say, I've not been the woman that I've wanted to be. I've not even been the Christian that I've wanted to be, but I want to change. I want to get rid of some things, but I just can't seem to find the way to change myself. That's the problem with a lot of us. We do want to change. We do want to get rid of our sin, but we just can't seem to find the way to change ourselves. You say, well, preacher, I want to change this morning. What am I supposed to do? I'll give you some advice on what to do. Some godly from the Bible. Miss Nan, I was cutting grass on Friday. And in our yard, we've got some weeds. Weeds everywhere. I hate them. There ain't much you can do about them sometimes. But you know what I like to do to the weeds? I pull out that push lawnmower, crank that thing up, and I push the lawnmower right over the weeds. And an hour later, when I'm done cutting my yard, I look out, boy, I say, boy, that grass is beautiful out there. There ain't no weeds. It sure is pretty. But you know what happens 5 days later? You know what's going to start coming back up? The weeds. In about 3 days, I'm going to go home and I'm going to see them weeds start popping right back up. You say, why is that? Because instead of getting to the root, instead of killing it, I just kind of covered it. I just ran it over until it came time for it to come back up. And when I was cutting grass on Friday, I thought, you know what? That's what we do to our sin. Instead of getting to the root of the problem, instead of getting to it and killing it and throwing it out so it never comes back, we just kind of cover it for a time until we say, you know what? When it comes back up, it'll come back up. To kill weeds, what do you need? Weed killer. Sometimes the weed killer don't even work that good. But you've got to get down there and rip it out of the ground and throw it across the yard so it does not come back. So it doesn't even have a chance to come back. You've uprooted it and it's gone. You say, well, how do I do that to my sin? Can I just get rid of it, pull it out and throw it out? You know what kills sin in our lives? You need weed killer to kill weeds. You know what can kill sin? The Bible that I hold in my hand this morning is a natural sin killer. Listen to what David said, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. David said, God, I want to cleanse my steps. I want to cleanse my life from sin. How can I do that? And God says, by taking heed according to my word. I think I said last week, one of the main problems within the church is this Bible, although it's still the bestseller in the world, sometimes it just sits on the nightstand and is never read. And I'm telling you, we cannot and we will not live an obedient life to God if we have a closed Bible. Those two things do not go together either. So you want to change this morning. And my advice to you is get in the Bible, because it is a natural cleanser and killer of sin in your life. That's just one thing, but there's a lot. It can only be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that. Stop trying and start trusting and just do what God tells us to do. Sounds easier than actually doing it, doesn't it? But it's simple. We trust God, get in His Word, allow His Holy Spirit to help us overcome whatever we're facing in our life. This morning, we live holy, godly lives because Paul says it's really illogical to not as Christians. And then our response to that is to come out and be separate, get rid of that which contradicts our life as a child of God. And thirdly, I want you to see not only the response, but I also want you to see the reward. The reward. Verse 18 says, when you come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, you can look at that verse and think that it's teaching this, that if I just do right, I'll be a child of God. You can read into that and say, if I just come out and begin to live a better life, a good life, the Bible says God will receive me and I'll be His sons and daughters. That's not what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is not saying if you just live the right way, you'll be a child of God. That's what religion says, doesn't it? Religion says do right and God will do this. But religion, I've said very often, will take every single one of us straight to hell. I do not need religion, I need Christ. Because religion says, do this. Grace says, I already did it. Salvation is nothing more than receiving God's free gift of grace through faith. See, Paul was writing to the church. To be in the church, you have to be born again. So Paul's writing to born again people. And he's not saying just live right and you'll be a child of God. That's not what he's saying here. You know, I'm not preaching this to you today to get all over you, to get down on you, to rebuke you, to make you think that God wants us to live by a set of rules. When you realize the Christian life is not about rules, but more about a relationship, it'll change your whole view about it. Christian life is not do this and don't do this. The Christian life is about I love Jesus. And I want to do right because I love Him. You know, right now when in my life when I see people, particularly Christians, living in sin, it doesn't make me happy. As a matter of fact, it breaks my heart to see that. Because when I see that, I see Justin. Paul said, I was not the chief of sinners. He said, I still am the chief of sinners. You know, we're not better than anybody else. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And what people do, we are very capable of doing the same thing because they have the same flesh we have. But you know, when we see Christians living in a way that God has not called us to live, it makes me see myself and it looks back to a younger me. And that song that says, Dear Younger Me, you heard that? If you could go back to your younger you, you'd say a lot to yourself, wouldn't you? All of us would. You know what I would say to myself? I would say, Justin, you have no idea the blessings you're missing out on by not being obedient to God. I would say, Justin, you have no idea what kind of life you are missing out on if you would just turn to God, if you would get rid of your sin, if you would stop playing around in that and do what God tells you to do, you would realize that that life is so much greater than that life. That's exactly what I would tell myself. You have no idea the blessings you are missing out on. You know, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin. I've said that before. If sin wasn't fun for people, nobody would do it. But sin is only fun for a season. But you know what I found to be more fun, Brother Danny? It's not sin. It's obedience to God. I have way more fun doing what God has called me to do than living the way that I want to live. And I can tell you that this morning. I told him this morning, this next Sunday will be 2 years that I've been here. And there's been so many blessings here at our church in those 2 years. But man, one of the greatest blessings that I've ever had is having one of my dear friends walk up to me, say, Justin, you know what I've found out over the past year, 6 months? He said, I've found out I don't have to go to the bar on Friday and Saturday night anymore to have fun. He said, I can come to church and have fun. He said, I don't have to go do all of that stuff anymore to have joy, to have fun. He said, I can hang out with you and have fun. I can be with God's people and have fun. And I can read my Bible and be obedient to God and still have joy. And one of the reasons that I always want to do this and preach the Word is because I've been there. I've seen that, yeah, you know, that is fun for a season, but I've also found that there is something else that is way more fun. And that is living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a joy like you'll never imagine. That's one of the greatest blessings that I've found. And it's my prayer that you'll find that out too. Miss Nan, you can come on up and play for us. No, that's why we serve the Lord. As you that are listening this morning, I want to make you realize something. Jesus just is not enough. Jesus is more than enough. Jesus just did not come to save us and say, I'll see you in heaven when you die. Jesus came to save us, but He also came to say, I'm going to give you a life that is more abundant. A more abundant life. This morning you're a Christian and you're saying, you know, all that stuff you're talking about finding joy as a Christian, yeah, it's good, but it's nothing special. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say there's nothing special about the Christian life. That's not the way Paul and Jesus described the Christian life. He said it's more abundant. We get so involved in the kingdom of this world that we need to be involved in God's kingdom. We get our eyes set down here instead of our eyes set up there. And I invite you this morning. I don't have to say this because the Holy Spirit, He does His work in our hearts. He convicts us of whatever we might be doing that is wrong. And you might be sitting there saying, I've been trying to change the last 6 months of my life, but I just can't seem to change. What do I do? Turn to Jesus. Because we can't change ourselves. It's impossible. The only one that can change us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll get on your knees and say, Jesus, I am tired of living in this sin. Is making me miserable. I've tried to fight it. I've tried to get over it, but I always seem to just go right back to it. And if you'll just say, Jesus, I need your help. I need your help to help me overcome this. I can tell you my Jesus will always be there to help you. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that we as your people that are living in a world that's contrary to you, they've turned away from you. God, the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Even your children, we've gone astray many times. But you're a God who always sits there just waiting for us to come back home. And you want us to come back to you and have that close, intimate fellowship relationship with you, God. So I pray that you'll help us as we live in this world. You've called us to live a holy life. That's impossible without you. So God, we just ask that you would give us help as we step out of the four walls of this church and the four walls of our house. God, to be an example to you, to shine a light to you for other people. God, we thank you for equipping us with your word, with your Holy Spirit, giving us everything we need to live a holy life. So Father, I pray you'll help us to do just that. Lord, we thank you for loving us despite all of our failures, despite all of our sin. You're always there to forgive us. And God, I pray right now that if someone's lost and they've never come to Christ, I pray today will be the day they receive you into their heart by faith. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sins and thank you for your power to overcome sin in our daily life. And Lord, we do love you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, church, I want to thank you so much. You know, I was sitting there talking about sweet tea. I'm excited to go home and drink me some sweet tea. This is water. So we don't fit into this world. We're not made to fit in. So I'm so thankful that God has put us together. We can't live a holy life apart from each other. We're called to help each other. So I hope that you will help somebody this week. Be a good example to somebody this week. Good example for the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pray for our nation, our state, our world during this time. And pray continually that not only God would heal us physically, but man, more than that, we need God to heal us spiritually. And I would love to see a great awakening come to Gaston County, North Carolina. Wouldn't you? I would love to see a big old tent set up and somebody just up there preaching the Word of God and people start getting right with God. I would love to see that. And I pray that God will do that through this time. So pray for that. Pray that revival will break out and He will start it not only in our church, but He'll start it in our own personal heart. Because that's how it starts and it spreads from there. So church, I do love you. Continue to give. I don't say much about it. because I don't have to. You're a church that just continues to give without anybody saying anything, because you do what is right in the Lord, and I thank you for that. But we do love you. I hope you have a good week. Go outside and do something today, which that's about the only thing to do is plant some flowers. So go out there and do something today. Get you a tan. So we love you. I hope you have a good week, and God bless you.